The testimony is one of the most unique tools that you will ever have in your spiritual toolbox. It's yours. In your story of how you as an individual met and came into personal relationship with the living God, that is a big deal. You didn't meet Mickey Mouse, you met the living God. So, your testimony is not to be trifled with and is not to be considered, it's just my story. I have nothing exciting to tell. You do have something exciting to tell. So I'm going to tell you mine, and I'm going to give it in 4 minutes. And why do we say 3 or 4 minutes? Anybody know? You're right. That's the time span that people have of staying with you. It's only 3 minutes. Scientifically, only 3 minutes. And then their mind begins to wander. So you got to capture them. And then I'm going to expand, go back over and give you my testimony and fill in a lot of the gaps to show you the difference, which you can do if they invite you to the young people or another group or some convention and they want to hear your testimony so you can add some things. I am the second of two boys. Behind me is, 3 years later, is my sister. And this is in 1940. In mid New York State. From the time that I was 4 years old, my folks divorced and it was very bitter. And from that time and for a year and a half, I lived with my dad, stepbrother, stepmother, and stepsister, and my brother. And it was pure hell. I was brutalized, beaten, told that I was worthless, never should have been born, stupid. I failed fourth grade. Then my dad and stepmother, they really had a clash. And they said, get the kid out of here. He wets the bed all the time. I don't want that snot around here. So my dad farmed me out to different farms. So from the time that I was 5 years old till I was 15, I worked for my room and board and went to school. I was up at 4:30 in the morning, worked sometimes 10 o'clock at night on farms. In April 56... my brother Bob, who had quit school, gone in the Navy, had come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ while he was in the Navy. He called on the phone and he said, hey, I'm your brother Bob. Well, I hadn't heard from him in about 5 years. And he said, I'm coming to see you this weekend. Is that okay? So for the next 4 or 5 visits, and those would be whenever he'd get a 48-hour pass, he would come. And on May 27, 1956, he asked me the question, Dick, do you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? I said, no. He said, would you like to? Yes. So we knelt beside the bed, and in my own words, I told God what I had just read from the Bible with him, which was that I was a sinner, that was the problem, and that Jesus had died on a cross for me. So I said, God, you're either a liar or you will forgive me. I want you as my Savior. God really did that because one of the things that I began to pray when we had finished, my brother said, is there anything in your life you don't like? And I said, yeah, I don't like my cousin. So I prayed and said, God, would you take away swearing out of my life? Less than 2 weeks later, swearing was gone. It was not an issue. It hasn't been for 58 years. And that was just the beginning. My personality began to change. And today, 58 years later, being the husband of a wife with cancer 3 times, 2 children that are physically and mentally retarded and still living home with us, a business that failed after I had it for 10 years, I can tell you that Jesus Christ is relevant today in 2011 in my life. And I would heartily recommend your investigation of him. Well, I don't know how long that took. Did anybody time it?
3 and a quarter.
3 and a quarter? 3 and a quarter minutes? Okay. Any questions on that right now? I wish I had. I have evaluations that when we give testimonies, and you leaders should ask, get that downloaded. Evaluation, so when you give your testimony, you can evaluate him, her, while they're giving it. Did you use cliché? Did you hear me use clichés? Any church terminology? See, I purposely did not use the term church or become a Christian. Now, if you say that around a Muslim, they don't want anything to do with you. But if you talk about Jesus, they'll talk to you. In fact, you can ask a Muslim, would you like to study about Jesus with me? They'll go do a study with you. Because Jesus is number three in the pecking order in the Quran. They like Jesus, but they don't like Christianity, and they don't like... That's Hollywood. So anyway. All right, let me tell you, fill in some blanks. From the time that I was... After the bitter divorce, the court gave me and my brother to my dad. My sister stayed with my mother. My mother... After the divorce, she couldn't take care of us because she had to work. So I immediately, Mom farmed me out to a little family up the hill. All I can remember was up the hill and over the tracks. And they already had six or seven other kids. Now, I'm 4 years old, so I don't remember a lot of that detail. But I remember there were a lot of kids in the house. And then I got to move up with my dad and my brother at my stepmother's farm. And that's where I was brutalized. That's where I was beaten with sticks and boiling coffee poured down my neck and set on hot stoves. And that was the time we didn't have indoor plumbing. We had outhouses. So I had to go out and sit on the outhouse when I got home from school, take my pants down, sit on the outhouse for 2.5 hours. They would sneak up on me, and if they found me without my pants being down, I got beaten. That was because I wet the bed. So this was punishment for wetting the bed. So I was constantly bloody nose and bloody lips because of being slapped in the face for that. Well, I could go on with all that detail, but I failed fourth grade, failed sixth grade, passed seventh on condition, was ready to flunk eighth, and now we're up to 1956 when my brother reconnects with me. Well, during the time that I left the farm with my dad and 56, I've lived in 10 different farms. So I would stay with this farmer and work with him until I got into trouble with him, either beating up on his kid or causing some trouble, and he'd call and say, "Get that kid out of here. I don't want him here anymore." So then Dad would have to find another place for me. I moved into adulthood with an awful lot, as you can see, baggage, an awful lot of scars. No self-concept. I was told I was worthless, never should have been born. I was stupid. I was the cause of the family problems. I was a brat, a snot. I went to bed all the time. When my brother would call me for supper, he'd come out the back door and he'd call me 21 names. Hey, dumbbell, stoophead, blockhead, numbskull, nincompoop, and on and on and on it went. Always demoralized, always put down. I never had a man come and put his arm around my shoulder or look me straight in the eye and say, "Son or Dick, you're a fine young man. I'm proud of you." Never got any of that confirmation. So how I'm standing here today, victorious, is really a miracle of God. People with less than what I've gone through have ended up in the grave or in prison or on drugs or whatever. Well, when my brother asked me that afternoon about Jesus Christ, "Do you know Jesus is your own personal Savior?" I quickly thought, "Do I know Jesus?" I thought, "No." If he'd asked me if I knew of him, I would have said yes, because in those days, in school, we had Christmas plays and we had Easter plays. So I learned about Jesus. In some of the homes that I lived in, they went to church, a couple Catholics. So I knew about the Mass and I knew about the Rosary and the Hail Mary. And so I knew some of that stuff. But I didn't know anything, and I knew about that there was a heaven and a hell and a God and Jesus and angels. But how this all went together and God was a God of love. And how that affected me, God's a God of love? Hey, you missed me. That had no reference. So when he asked me, "Do you know him as your own personal Savior?" I said, "No." Then he said, "Would you like to?" And I thought, everything I'd known about Jesus was positive. I use his name every day, all the time. So I thought, yeah, I'd like to know him. So he said, "Sit down beside the bed." He took out a little New Testament about the size of a blackberry. Not fruit, telephone. And he said, let's look at some answers from the Bible. So I read for the first time in my life, gang, I read with my own eyes where I came from, why I was here, and where I was going. I read that the issue between me and God is sin. I read, he said, here, read this. And I read, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, do you fit into that verse? I said, well, it says all. That's me. Yeah, okay. So you're a sinner. So what? I said, yeah, so what? He said, well, let's read this. So I wrote Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So he said, let's go back to the bad stuff. The wage, what are wages? I said, well, it's something you earn. He said, okay, so what'd you earn? Death? Okay, now let's look at the good news. What's it say? It says, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, what's a gift? Well, that's something somebody gives you. What do you have to do for it? Nothing. Eternal life is free. So do you want eternal life? He called me Riddy. Do you want eternal life, Riddy? I said, yeah. He said, according to this, where is it found? I said, through Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. He said, okay, let's read this. And I read Romans 5:8. And gang, when I read Romans 5:8, my heart broke. I started bawling like a baby. God proved His love toward me and that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. That was the first time in my life that I had read, had heard, been confirmed to me that I was loved and had value. It broke my heart. I just started sobbing and crying. And as a result of that, the first verses that I read about my sin and that was the issue between me and God really took on relevance. I'm a sinner, but yet God loves me. Wow. And it's all because of why Jesus died. Wow. So it all began to, the pieces like a puzzle, begin to fit together. Then he said, would you like to have Jesus as your personal Savior? I said, yes. How do you do that? I said, I don't know. You tell me. So he said, here, read this. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I'll live with him and he with me. 1 John 5:11 and 12. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. So he said, do you understand that you don't have eternal life right now? Yes. And where is eternal life? It's in Jesus. Would you like to ask God to be your Savior? Yes. Let's kneel beside the bed. So we did. I prayed and I basically said, God, either you're a liar or you'll do in my life what I just read. I want you as my Savior. I can, man, I tell you, I'm rotten. I need help. And I hate my life. Nobody likes me. Bob prayed, I don't know what it was. When we got up, he asked two questions. He said, hey, you just talked to God. Did you see any fire coming out of the bedpost? No. He said, did you see any angels ricocheting around the room? No. Well, then how do you know you did business with God? How do you know that He heard you? How do you know that anything took place? Because you said so. Nope, didn't going to work. I'm going back to the base. We're going to go back over this again. So we go right back over all of those verses and facts again. He'd ask me, is your sin forgiven? I say, well, yeah, I think so. He said, let's read this, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, did you confess your sin? Yes. Then what's it say? If I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me. Did He forgive you? I think so. Read it again. If I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Did He do that? Yeah, I really think He did. Read it again. He kept telling me, read it again, read it again. I said, how many times have I got to read it again? Until you get it. I said, what do you mean you get it? Until you are convinced that you know that your sins are forgiven because God said so. Either God said you are forgiven or you're not. Ah, did Jesus come into your heart when you asked Him to? Because you don't feel any different. Well, I do feel a little different. I feel like a weight's taken off my back. Don't worry about your feelings. Don't plan anything on that. Did He come into your heart? I think so. Okay, let's read it again. As many as received him, what? To them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So did you become a son of God? Yes. Why? Because I received him. That's right. That's how you know. Because the Bible says so. So then he said, between now and when I see you next time, which is going to be 3 weeks, I'm going to get another pass. I want you to have memorized this 1 John 5:11 and 12. You think you can do that? I said, I don't know. He said, I think you can. Let's work on it right now. So he said, 1 John 5, say it after me, 1 John 5:11 and 12.
1 John 5:11 and 12.
And he said, you always say the reference with the first verse, the first words of the verse. You tie them together. So it's 1 John 5:11 and 12. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. You think you can do that? Yeah, well, let's keep doing it. So we did it 4 or 5 times. A couple hours went by and we'd say, what's that verse? I said, I don't know. So then we'd go over it again. So by the time he went back to the base, we'd covered it 4, 5, 6, 8, 9 times. When I saw him again in 3 weeks, he said, what's that verse you're going to... He didn't say that. He said, when you die, you going to heaven? Yes. How do you know? Bible says so. Very good. Where? Don't tell me. I'll get it. Don't tell me. I'm not going to tell you. So I struggled with it. And he said, you didn't learn the verse, did you? So he had to help me time after time, each time we got together, to begin to review, work on it. So having failed 3 grades, you can tell that I was struggling. Well, so thanks to Bob helping me, I got started. He taught me how to pray by just saying, why don't you just tell God what you don't like? I said, what? Just tell God what you don't like. He knows your heart anyway. So I said, well, what words do you use? He said, why don't you just use how you talk to me? So that's when he said, one thing we want to pray together about is I want you to pray and ask God to change your heart so you go over and live with your mother. Because I'd been taught to hate my mother, and I did. And I didn't want anything to do with her. So he said, I want you to ask God to change your heart that you'll have a desire to go live with your mother. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. He said, you're not listening to me. I want you to pray, ask God to change your heart to go live with your mother. I said, I'm not going to do it. You're still not listening to me. We're going to pray right now, and you're going to ask God to change your heart. So after about 5, 6, 7 times wrestling with that, I finally gave in. I said, yeah, okay. So how do I do that? He said, just use the same words I just used if you want to. So I just said, God, I'm willing to have you change my heart. He said, about what? About mother. What about her? So we had to wrestle through that between my hatred and despising of her and trying to love her. So after a few minutes, I said, well, I want you to change my heart and my attitude toward mother, and I want to go live with her. She said, that's good. So he was praying that, and I was praying that. And 3 weeks later, I went and saw my mother and my sister, whom I've never seen. And then I had to call my dad and tell my dad that I was going to go live with my mother. And that really hit the fan. And he told me, I'll have nothing more to do with you. Don't want to see you. Don't call us. As far as I'm concerned, you're not my son. So I now am ready to go into high school. And I enter high school not knowing how to have friends, not knowing how to be friendly, not knowing how to do basically anything, but except that I'm getting time with God in the Bible, and God is changing my perspective. Because I'm reading that He loves me. I'm reading that I have value. I'm reading I have purpose. He's talking to me about my attitude. He's talking to me about my heart. He's talking to me about friends. If you want, I read in Proverbs, you want friend? You must show yourself friendly. I can do that. So I'd watch guys that had, I watched guys who had friends, and I'd see how they do it. So I begin to learn from them. Obviously, when I entered high school, I still mumbled a lot, carried my head down because I had a self-concept. But my head gradually began to come up because I was having a different perspective of who I was. I was now having value. I was reading, I'm the Son of God. I'm a royal priesthood. Man, I was being energized, changed. My personality was changing, my perspectives. I could get excited about things. I went out for sports and excelled in sport. I mean, I did all kinds of things, gang. So then let's fast forward. 1968, I was working on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. I met my wife, Glenda, and a year later, I proposed to her. We were married, and we now have two beautiful daughters, even though they're physically and mentally retarded, have never said daddy, have never said I love you in so many words, but they have another way of indicating that, daddy, I love you. One little deal was, and I'll give you, and I'll close with this. One little caveat. This is 13 years ago. I'm tucking Julie in, who is now 36. I still tuck her in. I was tucking her in, and when I tucked her in, I would rub her back, and I would brag on her. I would say, Julie, I'm so proud of you. Daddy is so proud of you because you do so many things. You can open the door, and you can put on your own shoes. And you sit up to the table and you can use a fork. And I would just go on and on, all the things that she does. And you just make daddy smile and happy so many times. I love it when you put your hand on my head and you rub my head. So I was just bragging on her. Now, little caveat. Several weeks prior to this, I had said, Father, you're a daddy, so I know that you'll understand what I'm going to say. I would really like to have Julie in some way tell me that she loves me. Now, she can't talk. But Lord, hey, nothing's hard for you. So in some way, I'm going to keep my radar on and I'll keep watching. You let me see Julie telling me that she loves me. So this particular night, I'm tucking her in and I'm bragging on her. She is facing the wall and I'm rubbing the back of her back. And I said, Julie, I want to tell you about God and about Jesus. And I don't know what you know about Him and what He's done, but He loves you. And so I was telling her a little bit about the Lord. And then I said, Julie, I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. Do you love Daddy? When I said, do you love Daddy, you'd thought I'd pricked her with a pin. She turned over in the bed, looked up at me, grabbed me. May I use you as an example? She looked up at me, took her hand, grabbed me, and pulled my head down into the nape of her neck and held me there. Man, you can imagine, I'm bawling like a baby. I am just so overwhelmed and excited. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for that little treasure of greatness that you just gave me, an answer to prayer. Thank you. I appreciate that. I can get mileage out of that. I can go for months and years without of that. Thank you. So, if I had more time, I'd tell you more stories like that of how our God has been so big, so real to me through my wife's cancer, through both of the girls being home now, how the Lord answered another prayer, which was, Lord, show me how these broken kids can bring you glory. Don't they have to be well? And I'm in the front yard and my neighbor and da-da-da and how that story. That's an exciting story too. Okay. You see the difference between the two? You with me? Okay. So if you work on it in 3 to 4 minutes and get down just the facts, that gives the person you're talking to an opportunity to identify with you, either in locale or your background or church background or something. Okay? Then when you're called on to, you can expand it and put in more detail. But you never want to put in the detail unless you're asked to give that expanded time. Does that make sense? Okay, any other comments or questions? Thank you for letting me share.